Oh, my God, my God, my God. I want to offer you true praise. Now, what did he say that ticket was? $15? Well, you need to make me your manager. That ticket moved up to $25 already. It's a shame to pay $15 for that kind of singing. Amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and bless the Lord again. Amen, 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 amen. We bless God for Minister Patrick and his group for breaking up our hearts for the word of God this morning. I want to offer you true praise. And that lady kept just going, I mean, where you get that kind of breath from? Yeah, I'm so glad I'm going to make it to heaven one day and be able to sing like that. I'm going to stay in my lane today, though. Pick up your Bibles, hold it in your hand, and say after me, I hold in my hand. Oh, now let me say that again. Pick up whatever you carry your word of God on. Because everybody don't carry a Bible these days. You got your iPad, your iPhone, your whatever you got it on. And hold it up. Let's give the devil a headache this morning. Say, I hold in my hand the keys to the kingdom, the word of God, the authority of God. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and bless God. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. We begin another Friends and Family Weekend. And for those of you who are visiting with us, hopefully you were told that we dress down on Friends and Family Weekend, because we want everyone who comes within our worship experience to be comfortable. Some people don't have enough to buy a nice suit and a nice dress and a nice hat for those who wear it, go and get their hair did and all that stuff. Oh, did I just say that? And so we want to be comfortable. We just want you to come with a heart ready to receive the word of God. What do you say? And so last night we began, our theme for this weekend is the power of the brand. The what, everybody? The power of the brand. Everybody's talking about what brand they use. Some people go to Neiman Marcus. Some people go to Payless. Mm-hmm. Others of us go to Walmart. But no matter what you are purchasing today, you bought some brand. It may be a high dollar brand, or it may be a all you can afford brand. But it's still a brand. And we share last night in our first message in this series that God has his own brand. That when sin came into the world, and this is just a review for those who were not here last night, that God decided he was not going to allow his word to be confused with the enemy's word anymore. So in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, God established a brand. He said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. God was saying, I'm going to put a wall up, and you are going to be on that side of the wall. And my people are going to be on this side of the wall. We said last night that when we refuse to heed God's word in favor of the enemy's word, three life-altering changes occur in our lives. We said last night that the first change that occurs in our life is we lose every time I get to this, I go blank, but I'm looking for a particular word and it will come to me in a minute. We lose our innocence. That's it. Somebody was here last night. We lose our innocence of evil. God didn't intend for us to know evil. He intended for us to be innocent of evil. And when we sin, we lost our innocence of evil. That's why we see death around us. That's why we hear wars and rumors of wars. That's why we get sick. Evil has become an integral part of our lives. We said that the second thing that happens to us when we sin, or when sin came into the world, was we lost our interest in intimacy with the divine. The Bible says Adam and Eve hid themselves when they heard the word walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Instead of coming to the word, they ran from the word. We lost our interest in intimacy, or for intimacy with God. And the third thing that happens, we said, is we long after the excitements of our ego. We long after feeding, satisfying our ego instead of nurturing the image of God that is in us. Isn't that terrible? God created us in his image, we said last night, to have dominion over all of his creation. But when we sin, we lost our divine dominion status, and we begin to settle for a global positional status. And so we say things like, I'm from New York, and you are from Mississippi. I'm an American, and you are a Mexican. We begin to fight over little plots of land instead of having dominion over all that God give us to rule over. And we said last night, because of that, God had to ask us three existential questions. Questions that are intended for our pondering. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, our positive response will help us to regain our divine dominion. We said the first question God is asking us is, where are you? We said last night that this question is not about our GPS, our global positional status, but our DDS, our divine dominion status. God is saying, where are you? Where are you in relationship to what I created you to be? Where are you? The second question we said that God is asking us is, who is speaking into your existence? God said to Adam and Eve, who told you? God had created them in a sinless environment, in a pristine condition. God made them in his own image after his likeness. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are hiding from God, saying, we hid from you because we were naked. God is saying, who told you you were naked? And my brothers and sisters, God is asking us this same question today. Who told you you were ugly? Who told you were too fat? Who told you were too skinny? Who told you were too black? Who told you were too yellow? Who told you your hair was not a good hair? Who told you cannot own your own business? Who told you that cancer was supposed to kill you? I wish somebody was listening to me. Who told you that God cannot open blind eyes? Who told you that your child will be stuck on crack? Who told you that you cannot have a graduate degree? Who told you that your marriage won't work? Or who told you that because you had one failed marriage that God cannot bring you somebody who will love you and care for you? Who told? Turn to your neighbor and say, who told you? See, you got to be careful of who you allow to speak into your existence, to speak, because the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the what, everybody? In the tongue. Then the third existential question that we talked about last night is, what are you feeding on? Because my brothers and sisters, what we put in our body has a lot to do with how we respond to God. God said, have you eaten what I told you not to? But I thank God that even though mankind sinned and we lost our innocence of evil, we lost our interest in intimacy with God. We lost, or we long after satisfying our ego. You know, we want cars and houses, we want special suits. I was telling somebody, I met a young man one time, he had a Mercedes Benz, but he was living in the project. That's a crazy way to think, to have a Mercedes parked in front of a subsidized housing. That's who's talking into your mind? But God has given us a brand, and that brand is his authentic word. He says, ye shall know the truth. And what's going to happen, everybody? The truth shall make you free. Today, we're going to move to our second leg in this journey of the power of the brand. Our message is entitled, Don't Believe the Hype. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's just a hype. It's just a hype. There are two passages of scripture that we're going to use today, and I'm going to call Elder Wilson to lead us out in the reading of these scriptures. The first is from Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read verse 1 through 14, and then we're going to drop to verse 23. Then we're going to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 32. Come on, Elder. Matthew chapter 24. In verse number 1, when you have it, let me hear you say amen. If you don't have it, say wait for me. Okay, we have a few people looking it up. Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 1. We're going to begin with verse number 1. We're going to read responsively. And when we get to verse 23, we're going to read together. Then we're going to turn to John chapter number 8. That's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 8 and verse number 32. When you have it, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Okay, you still looking? Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. After you pass Malachi in the Old Testament, you're in Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the 24th chapter. And we're going to look at verse number 1 through verse number 14. Let us stand together as we honor God in the reading of his word.
Reading from the book of Matthew, 24th chapter, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came with him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Shall we read verse 23 together? Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Shall we go to the book of John, the 8th chapter, and read verse 32 together? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen. Pray with me before you take your seat. Father, the hour is come when your Son and your Son alone, Jesus, must be lifted up. For Jesus said, And I, if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men, all women, all boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, don't believe the hype. The year was 1988. The place was New York City. Six young urban black boys decided to speak truth to power. They included the flamboyant Flavor Flav, the sophisticated and cerebral Professor Griff, and the vociferous Master D, or Grand Master D. To name a few, these young men named themselves Public Enemy. Their second album and the second song on that album that went up at number 18 on the hip hop R&B chart was Don't Believe the Hype. These young men, my brothers and sisters, were speaking truth to power. They were saying to those who in their arrogance and their extravagant riches were putting down and sidelining others who were not so blessed to have the things that this world has to offer. They were disenfranchising and allowing to fall by the wayside of life those who did not have the same color as they had and were not privileged to be empowered as they were. And these young men in this song were saying, don't allow their extravagance. Don't allow their influence, their so-called earthly influence. Don't allow their financial wherewithals to make you think that they are better than you. It is just a hype. Don't believe the hype. I want to ask your permission to just propose, my brothers and sisters, this morning that Public Enemy was not the first to encourage God's people to not believe the hype. As we go to our passage of study this morning, Matthew's gospel in the 24th chapter, we find Jesus and his disciples near the sacred mount of Solomon's temple. This temple that took 40 years to be built. Now partly destroyed, but reconstructed by Herod the Great. The Jews put all of their confidence in this temple, this temple, my brothers and sisters, represented their connection with God as God's favorite people. The Jews felt like they were better than everybody else instead of being better off because God had chosen and selected them to be a conduit through which God's good news of salvation will go to the rest of the world. And as the disciples sat in awe looking at this grand temple, Jesus began an encouraging conversation with them. Oh, what, everybody? An encouraging conversation, Matthew records in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 1. As they sat, Jesus said, all of these stones that you see, all of this money that have been invested in this structure that you put all your confidence in, Jesus says, I want to let you know that not one stone will remain standing on the other. It will all be torn down. The Bible says that when they left the temple and went up to the Mount of Olives, the disciples came aside in secret, in seclusion with Jesus alone, and they ask Jesus a question. A question that was shocking. A question that was intended to show that they could not comprehend what Jesus was talking about when he said this temple that took so much time, so much money, so much gifts to put up will be torn down by whom? And their question was, when shall these things be? My brothers and sisters, I want to pause here this afternoon to share with you and I that we're all asking that question when we look around us and see all of the chaos, all of the confusion, and all of the things that are going on around us. Somebody is asking God, how long? When shall these things be? And my brothers and sisters, when we look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 4, the second thing that we see occurring during this encouraging conversation between Jesus and his disciples is an intriguing admonition. Everybody say intriguing admonition. The first thing that Jesus tells them, Sister Adams, is be careful or be mindful to not let anyone deceive you. Jesus was admonishing his disciples. He was warning them, don't get so caught up in worrying about what time I'm coming back and when these things will happen, and allow somebody to deceive you and fool you, because there is a lot of hype out there about Jesus' second return. There is a lot of hype out there about who Jesus is and how Jesus will return, and the hype will be so intense that if you're not careful, you will be fooled. Turn to your neighbor and say, be careful not to be fooled. Jesus gave them an intriguing admonition. Be careful and don't let anyone deceive you. After that intriguing admonition, my brothers and sisters, the disciples were all ears. They were drawn at the edge of their seat, listening for the next thing that Jesus will say. We ask you, Jesus, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? And you begin with a warning that there will be deception. And my brothers and sisters, Jesus followed that intriguing admonition with an important prediction. Or what, everybody? An important prediction. Jesus said, there will be many coming in my name and saying that they're Jesus. I don't know if you've been checking out the news on YouTube. Thank God for technology today. There is a brother in Florida, a Hispanic brother, you can check it out on YouTube, that has thousands of people following him, and he's telling them that he is Jesus. Oh, my brothers and sisters, the Bible is true. Every prediction that Jesus made is coming to fruition. CNN interviewed this man who migrated from Mexico, and he has all these people. He has 12 disciples and thousands of people right here in these United States, in Miami, Florida. And he's telling them he is Jesus come in the flesh. And he is using scripture to defend that foolishness. Jesus was right, my brothers and sisters, when he warned us, don't let anyone deceive you. Because people will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. He said, but not only that, you will hear of wars and rumors of war. Are we hearing about wars? Many of our sons and daughters, fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, die in Iraq behind a wall that predicted something that never was. Afghanistan torn up. Saudi Arabia is being torn up. North Korea is wagging their finger in the face of the greatest power, human power on earth. And this guy, Kim Jong-un, is so crazy. You thought Trump was crazy. This guy is 100 times crazier than Trump. He's one of the first leaders in the world since America became what it is and Japan got her backside torn up to say they can stand up to America. That they will initiate, not defend themselves from America, but they will initiate an attack on America. And he is so bold and brazen about this, that Washington is wondering how to deal with this man. Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. There will be famine and pestilences and diseases in diverse places. This whole world will be in a chaos. Trouble everywhere. Diseases coming up that man have never heard about and don't have a remedy to. Ebola. A death sentence. We thought AIDS was a death sentence. Ebola. Anyone who has it, if their blood touches your blood, you're dead. And what's this other one that came from South America? Zika. Babies born, being born with brains shrink and head shrunk. Fear everywhere. Jesus said, I am giving you an important prediction that these things are going to happen. But not only that, he said, there will come false prophets. False what, everybody? He said, false prophets that will do so much wonder that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. Turn to somebody and say, don't believe the hype. When we look around our chaotic world today, we have everybody plus some being a preacher, evangelist, on television, commanding thousands upon thousands of people week after week, making millions of dollars, flying in supersonic jets, telling you if you sow a seed in their ministry, you will get a new house and a new car and a new boo and all kinds of stuff is going on. And these people are doing a lot to convince and to fool you to think they are following Jesus. He calls them false prophets. I look in this church today, and even though I cannot see, I know we don't have standing room only. We still have rooms to seat, maybe 100 or two more. But there are churches tomorrow morning, my brothers and sisters, that will have first service at 7 o'clock with 3,000 plus. Second service at 9 o'clock with 4,000 plus. Third service at 11 o'clock with 5,000 plus. And then the biggie is the 1 o'clock service with 10 or 15,000 people. Why? Because we are living in an age where we have this drive-through religion being sold. Come when you can and when you want to. We'll have something in the drive-through. You don't have to stay with us or with God for more than an hour. We'll give you your stuff through the drive-through window. We'll give you your placebo to keep you hyped till the next week. And while you are at it, bring us your check. My brothers and sisters, we have to be careful because there is a false brand out here that is so hype, that is so intense, that are doing so much that if you are not careful, you can get caught up in the hype. I believe Jesus was saying to his disciples, don't believe the hype. They will get on TV and they will place people in the congregation intentionally. They will tell those people to say that they are blind, that they are crippled, that they have cancer. And then they will call those people's name and bring them up front before thousands in stadiums. And they will say, have I met you before? No. Did any of my ministers speak to you? No. What is your problem? I am blind. And they'll put their hand on the face of that person and speak some gibberish. And then they'll have three people standing behind them to hold them because those people got more power than the Holy Ghost.
You know, when Jesus was right when he said, don't allow yourself to be fooled. The Holy Ghost doesn't need to knock me down to heal me. I'm already down. I need somebody to pick me up. But these people will touch you and then you fall back. And then somebody grabs you, pick you back up, and they touch you again and you fall. And they bring this wheelchair and they say, get out of the wheelchair. And you get out and they say, run back and forth. And you're, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God doesn't heal. I'm not saying that God cannot heal. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that God is not here to put on a show. Matter of fact, God heals who he wants to heal, when he wants to heal, and how he chooses to heal. Then the songwriter said he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. My brothers and sisters, this religion that is teaching all gold and no suffering, all goods and no pain, all crowns and no cross, I stopped by to tell you today that it is the wrong brand of religion, and you need to run 100 miles from it, because the last time I checked, my Bible said, in this life, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome this life. There is a religion that says my God is able to heal and restore, but if he chooses not to, I will still praise his name. Is there two people in here who can shout, I don't care if he doesn't heal me. I don't care if I don't get a new house and a new car and a new big bank account. There is a God that loves me, and my love, or God's love for me, is not measured by how big my bank account is. But many of us measure our relationship with God with what we have or don't have. That's why when that person came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you, Jesus warned them, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head, because Jesus was saying, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, let me pause here parenthetically and share with you, my brothers and sisters, that I am not saying that you are a sinner if you're rich. I wish I had a few more dollars myself. I'm not saying that you are a sinner if you got a big house up Sugar Hill. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have things, but what I'm saying is, don't measure your relationship or the depth of your relationship with God by what you have or don't have. Jesus was warning us about this hype, because when trouble comes, when affliction comes, when pain comes, people are gullible and they will fall for anything. I was and I am a survivor of Katrina. And I remember when Katrina came. After Katrina, everybody and their grandmother was making their way in a church house. As long as there was somebody in that house saying, I'm a preacher. But as soon as the money started to come in, as soon as the government started to send FEMA, everybody went right back to business as usual. And Jesus is warning us against that, my brothers and sisters. Jesus is saying, be careful. Don't allow anyone to fool you. Turn to your neighbor and say, who are you listening to? Because false prophets, let me tell you something that is so amazing about these people that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11 through 13. He said they will do so much. They will feed thousands of hungry people. They will give clothes. They will do stuff that will make you think they are actually following Jesus. These are the ones for whom Jesus speaks when he says, one day they will come to me and say, did we not heal in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not feed hungry folk in your name, start scholarships in your name? Did we not write some of the best gospel hymns in your name? And Jesus will say, yes, you did, but I know you not. Because you got your reward. When people were lining up 2 hours before the event, not to meet with me, but to hear you speak, that was your reward. When they were running from their pews while you were preaching and throwing $100 bills on the pulpit, that was your reward. When these people were giving everything to you after you had all plus some and walking back to their homes where their rent not paid, their electric bills still due, and they're still going through their pain, and you were suckering everything out of them, you got your reward. My brothers and sisters, I want to be the mouthpiece of Jesus today to warn us. We got to be careful because there are false prophets who are working wonders out here and making people to think that they represent Jesus. The next thing we see in this encouraging conversation is, my brothers and sisters, not only an intriguing admonition, not only an important prediction, but Jesus gives an interesting revelation. Or what, everybody? An interesting revelation. We see it in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 14. Jesus says, in this gospel, turn to your neighbor and say, that's the brand. In this gospel, he didn't say in a gospel, in some gospel, in most gospel. Jesus had branded his gospel. This is a possessive adjective describing a particular thing. And Jesus was saying, the gospel that I'm talking about is not just any gospel. It is this gospel that has my stamp and signature on it, that has my brand on it. This gospel shall be preached as a witness in every nation. Then shall the end come. Let me tell you this, my friends. Wars and rumors of wars are not the sign of Jesus' coming. Not according to Matthew 24. And this is not Mark, Matthew. This is not Peter, James, John, one of the apostles, Paul. This is Jesus himself speaking. He said there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famine and pestilences. There will be false Christs and false prophets. He said, but the end is not yet. He said, these are just birth pains. He said, but what's going to bring the end is this gospel being preached into all the world as a witness. As a what, everybody? Now watch this, watch this, watch this. There is nowhere on the planet right now that you can go where the gospel is not being preached. So if that is true, then why isn't Jesus here yet? Jesus is not here yet, my brothers and sisters, because the gospel that is being preached on all these YouTube and television and radio and Sirius XM is not this gospel. See, you got to be careful when you listen to Jesus speak, because Jesus is particular about his brand. We have radios all over the world and television and now the internet, and everybody plus some is preaching some gospel, but it is not this gospel. And Jesus said the end will not come until this gospel has been preached. Watch this, not preached so that everyone can accept it, but preach so that it can be a witness against them. Whenever you go to a court trial, there are always witnesses. There will be a witness for the prosecution, or the a witness for the defendant. The prosecutorial witness is there to say that they saw you do something wrong. The defense witness is there to say, no, they were with you and you were not at that location. Watch this, watch this. Jesus says this gospel must be preached as a witness. It is either going to be a witness for you or a witness against you. There's going to be no excuse for any person who have been born on this planet to say that they did not hear the truth of this gospel. So then, let me warn you, my brothers and sisters. If you think Jesus is about to come, you got something else coming. Because as long as you and I are sitting on our laurels and thinking that only the preacher should be the one preaching the gospel, preaching this gospel, as long as we are not sharing, inviting, witnessing, telling people that there is this gospel being preached at 45, 55 Fairfields and other places around the world where you are located, the end will not come. That means you need to buckle your seatbelt, because we are in for a long ride. You think the storm that came during Katrina was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. You think the August 13 storm in Baton Rouge was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. You think all of these wars and rumors of wars that are going on around the world is something? You ain't seen nothing yet. You think these diseases and pestilences that are coming, or that have come, is anything compared to what has not come yet? That's why I preach this gospel with such fervor and passion, because I want to get out of here. I'm sick and tired of going to memorial services of 16-year-olds. I'm sick and tired of standing next to a father gritting his teeth, trying to hold back the tears as he buried his baby boy. A mother touching her breast and going in a fetal position because she just lost her child to crack, lost her child to some crazy shooter in the neighborhood. I'm sick and tired that I want Jesus to come, and I want him to come quickly. That's why I'm preaching this gospel, and I'm encouraging you, my brothers and sisters. If we don't preach this gospel like Jesus said we should, the end will not come. Because God needs to give everybody an opportunity to have heard the fact that we are not saved by our works. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are you saved. It is through faith, not of works, lest any man or woman, boy or girl should boast. This gospel says, my brothers and sisters, that you and I cannot do anything to be saved. We are saved by what Jesus and Jesus alone has done. Turn to somebody and say, that's this gospel. This gospel says, my brothers and sisters, that God's law is not done away with yet. And that God's 10 commandment laws will never be done away with, because it represents God's character and God's motif for civility in his universe. We are not saved by keeping the law, but we keep the law because we are saved. Come here, Paul, Romans chapter 3. Should we get rid of the law? God forbid, Paul says. We establish the law, and that person that is teaching that because Jesus rose on Sunday, the Sabbath is done away with, and Sunday is now time to worship, is preaching another gospel and not this gospel. Turn to somebody and say, this gospel. My brothers and sisters, we must preach this gospel that says that because we are children of God, we walk like children of God and talk like children of God and act like children of God. And when we pay our tithes and our offerings, we are not paying it so that God can bless us. We are paying it because God has already blessed us. Turn to somebody and say, this gospel. There are people that are teaching that you sow $79.99 on their 79th anniversary, and God is supposed to bless you. What kind of foolishness is that? God said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now herewith. Matter of fact, he begins with saying, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 1. From the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. And I'm asking you to return unto me so that I can return unto you. And you got the nerve to ask, how shall we return unto you? Shall a man rob God? He says, shut up. You've already robbed me. How have we robbed thee? In tithe and offering. God said, you are cursed double. You're cursed with a curse. So you're bringing your tithe, which is 10% of all that God has blessed you with, and a thankful offering because God has already blessed you, not because your tithe is some ticket for God to give you something. And some people got the nerve to leave the church because they put in so much money, and when they show up late one day, the pastor didn't call their name. We got to preach this gospel. I'm not done with this gospel, my brothers and sisters. This gospel says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
The Bible says that even though death has been assigned to us because of sin, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish the second death, but shall have everlasting life. But somebody is saying in another gospel that absent from the body is present with the Lord. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 through 18, I will not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you weep not as those that have no hope. For God himself shall descend from heaven. Oh, I wish somebody was listening to me. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, then shall the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet God and to meet with them in the air. So shall we forever be with the Lord. Verse 18, he said, therefore comfort one another with these words. Why was Paul saying that? Paul was saying that because he wanted us to know that even though when we die, we will be risen again, there is a time that God has set, and that is when God himself get off his throne, put one foot on the east and one foot on the west, and shout with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise from their graves. Not when somebody is dead lying in a casket and then you tell somebody that they are in heaven looking down, when the Bible says in Proverbs that the dead knows not anything, even though the living knows that they shall die. Turn to somebody and say, that's another gospel. But God is calling us to preach this gospel. This gospel says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, you said you were grown up. You said you got your money. You go to the market. You can buy whatever you want and put it in your body and eat and drink whatever you want. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is of God, and you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Turn to somebody and say, you are purchased by God. Paul said, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And then he goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 to say, so whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do that to the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, what we put in our bodies is what got us in this mess to begin with. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, and verse number 5, when the woman saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes and good for food. What? When God said, don't touch it, don't eat it. And we've been eating ourselves into hell ever since. And this gospel says that God has given us a diet as his people. The wise man says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And he that is deceived thereby is not wise. And if you are not wise, my brothers and sisters, you are otherwise. I wanted to use another language, but I'm in the church with good people. We have to preach this gospel. Somebody got the nerve to say that there's going to be a secret rapture. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's the other gospel. They say one day God will sneak down here like some scared person, sneak out a few good people and take them to heaven, and other people are going to stay down here wondering what happened to their cousins and their children and their brothers and sisters. But this gospel says, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who nailed him at the cross. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, God is not afraid of the devil. God has not sent Jesus, who took off his divinity and put on humanity, came to this filthy earth and born in a filthy manger, ran and walked down the dusty roads of Galilee and Nazareth and Jerusalem, allowed to be arrested by mankind he created, allowed them to spit on him, beat his back, nail him to the tree, put him in a borrowed grave for 3 days. He rose from that grave, and now he got to sneak in here to grab somebody out. No, no, no. John says God showed him the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is no more a baby in a manger. No, he's no more a dead body in some borrowed grave. Up from the grave he arose with mighty power over his foe. He arose with victory over death's domain, and he reigns forever. Let his sins proclaim, the songwriter says. Heroes, heroes, hallelujah. Christ has arose. Is there two people in here that believe that Jesus is not dead? He's yet alive. Say yes. And when he comes back, I'm warning you, he's not coming as a baby. He's coming as the exalted crown king of the universe. And the Bible says he's going to be riding on a horse, according to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. He's going to be flesh as he was when he went up, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 through 11. The angels said to the disciples, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. He went up flesh and bone, and when he comes back, he's going to be flesh and bone. He went up in a cloud. The Bible says in Psalms chapter division 68 and verse number 17 that the clouds are chariots of angels that will bring Jesus back to this earth. He's not sneaking in here to get somebody. There will be a rapture, but it won't be a secret rapture, and I can't wait to hear the trumpet sound when my Jesus shall come to get and take me home. What are you saying? That is this gospel. This gospel, my brothers and sisters, must be preached into all the world as a witness. Then shall the end come. And I'm so glad that Jesus has branded his word. I'm so glad that Jesus' brand is unique and different from this false, fictitious brand that is out here. If you want to get the Jesus brand, you got to go back to the word. But not just go to the word, but you got to ask the Holy Ghost to show you what the word is talking about. Jesus says in John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth. And I heard some people say the truth shall set you free. That's not what the Greek says. The Greek says the truth shall make it possible for you to be free. But what am I saying, my brothers and sisters? What I'm saying is to set somebody free is to open the door and pull them against their will into freedom. But to make it possible for them to be free is to open the gate to their prison and say, do you know where you are? Who told you that you can't come out? What are you feeding on? Give them the opportunity
to come out. And that's what truth does. Truth gives us the opportunity to accept freedom. Because when God created us, he created us with something called will and the power of choice. And no matter how much truth you hear, if you are not willing to respond to that truth, God will not force you. You have to make up your mind and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. My brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that there's a hype that's out there that is not Jesus' brand. There's a gospel that is out there that is not this gospel. And Jesus is having an encouraging conversation with you and me today. He is giving us an intriguing admonition. Don't be fooled, he's saying. Jesus is giving us an important prediction. False Christs, false prophets, wars and rumors of wars and famine and pestilences shall come. Jesus has given us an interesting revelation. This gospel of the kingdom of God must be preached into all the world as a witness. Then shall the end come. And I just stopped by to tell somebody that if you choose to follow this gospel, Jesus is willing to accept you. Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And no matter what you've done, where you've done it, who you've done it with, Jesus is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. If any man or woman, boy or girl, hears my voice and open the door, Jesus say, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And I stopped by to ask somebody a question that I always ask. Won't he do it? I say, won't he do it? Won't he come in? Won't he sup with us? Won't we sup?